Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 200th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a bi-weekly, half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During the show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as new Mainers. But today, because it's the 200th edition, we are celebrating workforce development, and we'll be spending about an hour with four pretty fantastic guests who are here to share their experiences with us. We have a director, a helper, a student, and a tutor, and I'd like to start by introducing them. David Zahn, who's not only the chair of the ESOL and Global Language Department at SMCC, but he also has helped co-produce this show today and organize the guests. Thank you so much for being here, David. He has invited with him a foreign-born instructor originally from Bulgaria. She's been supporting newer immigrants as they've participated in a workforce development program offered at Southern Maine Community College. She is Stella Markova-Kunin. And she is formerly an international project coordinator and currently a finance associate at the YMCA of Southern Maine. She's a volunteer for the ESOL to EMT program, which we'll explain more about later. And she's a tutor for the ESOL to IT program. Welcome, Stella.
Thank you for the invitation.
Yes, it's terrific. And nothing better to do this morning. It's kind of icky outside, so I'm glad to be cozy in here with all of you. We also have someone here named Stephanie. She's assisting students with job readiness training. Her name is Stephanie Trice-Gill. Many of you may know her from around town. She wears many hats. She's the founder of IntWork, a diversity recruitment firm that specializes in matching Maine employers with engineers, information technology, and other STEM, primarily immigrant professionals. IntWork's motto is hire local, be global. And IntWork's owner, Stephanie herself, is both local, having grown up in Maine, and global, speaking French, Portuguese, Spanish, and Mandarin Chinese. She enjoys finding unique immigrant talent and ensuring that they have the language skills and the understanding of the culture of the U.S. workplace so they can return to their fields in the United States, which is what she did for the ESOL IT program at Southern Maine Community College. Welcome, Stephanie.
Thank you, Kate.
We are additionally joined by a student, kind of a rather remarkable student, who participated in the ESOL to IT training. His name is Dieudonné Nzeyimana, and he's originally from Rwanda. He's the pioneer of IT development in the Rwanda Public Administration, also a COO in Population Services International. It's a pleasure to have you here. Thank you for coming, Dieudonné.
Thank you very much.
I'm just delighted to have you all here today for a fun roundtable discussion about workforce development in Maine, and welcome all. David Zahn, perhaps you could get us started as the chair of the English and ESOL, which is second or other languages, at Southern Maine Community College. You can set the stage for anyone who's not sure just what workforce development really is exactly. What's workforce development?
Okay, workforce development. We have a number of efforts at the college where we try to help get new Mainers into better jobs. I think it serves the needs of our business community. It serves the needs of the new Mainers. Those efforts are usually training with English specific for jobs, some technical job training, some acculturation, and some work readiness training. And we've had an EMT program that's got some recognition, and more recently, we've been working on an IT program, and Dieudonné can speak to that, and Stella was involved, and Stephanie, too. We work with employers. We recognize needs where there's a lack of workers in specific industries, and then we also look at the needs of our students, and sometimes we can, it's 2+2. We have a lot of new Mainers with lots of skills who are underemployed, and they could easily and often do fill the needs of the employers, but sometimes it takes some language training, maybe specific to that job, maybe some technical training or retraining or finishing, sometimes some work readiness skills. And so we put together programs specifically to serve the needs of the new Mainers and the employers. It's a nice 2+2 equals a win.
Yeah, it's a great fit. And you have tons of immigrants that find their way to Southern Maine Community College. Do you have a round number on students That are foreign-born at your school?
We probably have about 300 to 400 at any time. Some have been here a little bit longer, and some are freshly arrived.
Yeah,
and
so you're doing what you can to make sure that their educations match up with the workforce needs.
Yes.
Wonderful. Why is workforce development so important right now? I wondered, Stephanie, if you might say a word about that.
Well, as you may have heard, I actually have different shows have talked about the growing skills gap in Maine, where the Maine population is growing older. And so what that means is out of every 6 job openings in science, technology, engineering, and math, only 5 are just to replace people retiring. Most of the jobs that people fill are just to replace people that are already left. They're not for growth. So there's a huge need for companies that are growing. If they want to stay in Maine, they need to find the talent to fill those essential jobs and with technological skills like the SMCC students who graduated. And immigrants are the best source of that skill. Most of the immigrants who come to Maine have a bachelor's degree or higher. Many are engineers and have backgrounds in IT, project management, and other skills that Maine companies need.
Yeah. And we need it, right? I put a link from the Bangor Daily News on the New Mainers Speak Facebook page that has a little cartoon kind of walkthrough explaining just how our workforce development works in the state and why it's so important. You know, we are an aging population. Many, many states are faced with this declining population, and one of the best solutions ever is immigrants. As you said, they come pre-educated, hardworking, and ready to go. Stella, you helped to instruct students in the workforce development program at SMCC. That is called, well, both of them actually, the IT and the EMT, Emergency Medical Technicians. Might you be able to talk a little bit about what you created there and who benefited from this dedicated kind of training program?
Yes. First, beginning with the EMT program, it was specially designed for people with some background in medical studies who have come recently or haven't had the chance to convert their degree to the U.S. standards. So the program gave an opportunity to people with that kind of background to undergo a certain training in the run of 6 months. So they acquired a lot of contextual English training, which is related to the emergency medical technician job. Some of the students didn't have any background, but they displayed real interest in the profession. So my major experience was with a doctor from Azerbaijan, who was really active before he moved to the States. I mean, he practiced the job. And when he came here, he heard about the program, so he benefited it completely because this was a start from right from the beginning of his arrival. So in that sense, the college gave an opportunity to people who had a degree but probably didn't have the money or didn't have the chance because they had to first adapt to the environment. So it is a good chance for people who are coming here and at some point are wondering if they could do the job they previously did in their home country. As to the ESOL to EMT to IT program, it was more or less focused for people who had a degree in information technology or technology as a whole. That might have been electrical engineering or mechanical engineering, people with a certain level of knowledge, which was also evaluated at the introductory process of screening the people. They all underwent survey. Then they were invited to an interview where they could practice their technical knowledge. Their skills were screened with a test of their... and probably out of 200 people, we had like 20 that started the program, and they were probably the most successful people with huge experience and knowledge in technical studies. Some of them even had IT background, and a lot of them really found a job afterwards. It helped them in their job placement process.
Which is amazing. When you have a class of people who are trained, there are always people who fall away. They're not well. They move. They choose to do a different field.
Yeah.
But the idea is to get as many people the skills they need to cross over and use their skills from before and apply them here.
Yeah.
And that was successful, especially with IT program.
Yeah.
I love it. Thank you. So that was a great example of who accesses this kind of specific training program, both for EMT and IT. We've got doctors. We've got people who've set up their own programs in other countries, and they come here and make sure we're all on the same page. We have an hour-long special today focused on specialized workforce development. Stella has selected a song for us for our first break. I hope you'll take a listen, and we'll be right back so you can hear from individuals who have taken these courses and studied to prepare for meaningful work here in the United States. Would you like to introduce your song?
Yes, maybe a little. So this is The Mystery of the Bulgarian Voices. It is a female Bulgarian multi-level voices choir. And it is probably one of the best world-known Bulgarian choirs, very popular in the States at the end of the 80s of the previous century. They became very well-known in the States. They are performing all over the world, and even contemporary DJs are playing songs with motifs from... their songs. So in a way, they contribute to combining the contemporary trends in music with some folk traditional sound.
Lovely. Thank you. And we're back. If you're just joining this conversation, welcome. You're listening to the special one-hour-long New Mainers Speak celebration of workforce development. And this is the 200th edition of New Mainers Speak. I'm Kate Manahan, and my guests today are talking about workforce development here in the state of Maine. And right now, I'm going to turn the microphone over to Dieudonné. You are one of the people who's gone through this specialized training at Southern Maine Community College in ESOL to IT. How long had you been here in the United States and in Maine before you started this program?
I was almost completing 1 year of stay in the U.S. and in Maine.
And what kinds of jobs? Oh, I'm sorry. What kind of jobs were available to you prior to this training?
Actually, I was still trying to figure out what opportunities are there, but I didn't have my work authorization yet. I was waiting to have a work authorization.
Which can take about 11 months, right?
Yeah, and this opportunity came, and I was told it was funded, so I didn't have to pay for it. And I went there, and it was in line with really what I wanted to do, because I've done management before, but also IT. And I realized coming back to IT would require some refresher course. So it was a good opportunity for me. And it inspired me to even continue with some further IT classes afterwards.
Yes, but you weren't new to IT. What was your undergraduate degree in?
I wasn't really new to IT. I had done IT before, but I had moved away from IT for a while to go to management. So this was like coming back to IT after a few years of interruption. So it required some refresher courses.
Yes. Yeah. What was your undergraduate degree?
My undergraduate was statistical. I was trained as a statistical engineer. And I came to IT just because of personal interest.
Yes. Yeah. Well, good. We're glad to have you.
Thank you.
And was there anything that was standing in your way when you arrived here in the United States to, well, first of all, you've just said you needed your work permit. But was there anything else that stood in the way of you taking a management job or an IT job without a workforce development training program?
I really tried to get as much information as possible in terms of what is available, what jobs are available. And I was gradually coming to a conclusion that in the state of Maine, it might be difficult to directly enter in a management job. In my country, I was already on the upper level of management. And I realized it would be difficult. I would probably have to start something very low and with a low pay. And the conclusion was that a technical job gives a better chance to start a decent job with a decent pay.
Yes, that was a strategic choice. I wondered, Stephanie, if you could help us understand some of the other stories of people who've come to the program. You did some interviewing to see who might be qualified for this course. So if you could say something about that.
Yes, it was delightful to be part of the interview team for the ESL to IT program at SMCC. I was amazed by the caliber of the candidates who I had the chance to interview, and some of whom became part of the program. One person who wasn't part of the program because he had such a distinct other career option was a guy who I was interviewing him. He started talking about his history, and we realized that he had a PhD in geotechnical engineering geological engineering. And he also spoke, I remember it was interesting because at one point he switched into Chinese, and we did part of the interview in Chinese. He spoke French, Chinese, and several other languages, and
how
just
delightful.
Was blown away. That was a real nice surprise. And another surprise was there were people like one of the participants who had a solid electrical engineering background, and he had, after graduating from college, had moved to South Africa from the Congo, founded a big computing center, and then later founded several other companies, a multinational tour company, a multinational import-export company of agricultural tools and products. And Then he moved to Maine. Oh, but not before founding and leading the National Chamber of Commerce in his country and the Congo. So anyone out there who is involved in the leadership of the National Chamber of Commerce and wants to meet this guy, he is really something. And feel free to, if you want to meet him, reach out to me. So he has done some wonderful work. Then there was a librarian and an archivist who had also, in his free time, opened and run an orphanage. So these are really amazing people coming here. And it was a wonderful class, just learning so much every day from the exciting experiences and knowledge that everybody brings.
Wow, those are great examples of the lives that immigrants bring with them. And you just don't know. I think we're kind of like geodes, those rocks that look kind of dirty on the outside, and you crack them open, and we have these crystalline inters. And I find that all the time with my guests, you know. We have one picture that says kind of a thought bubble over our heads, immigrant. But there are so many people who are immigrants, and they bring such rich, diverse talents to the community. That's a great example, Stephanie. Thank you. Dudene, in your home country of Rwanda, how would someone go about getting the kind of training that you got for IT here? Is it the same? Would they have a workforce development program in Rwanda?
Actually, not so much. There are not many opportunities for this very technical training. If you don't go through a degree that offers that, most of the time opportunities, when they are there, they are very expensive. And in my case, as I said, because it was a personal interest, I even had to travel out of Rwanda to do some training, stop working, and pay for myself. So it was a bit of a challenge, but because I wanted to do it, I did.
Amazing how that works, right? Motivation's a beautiful thing. How about in Bulgaria? Can people switch careers like this?
So in Bulgaria, the sector of information technology is gaining a lot of speed at the moment. So in the recent time, it became popular. Probably it's a trend coming from the United States, but we had the so-called software university established in 2014, which provided training free of charge for people who just want to give a try and practice some computer language for a few months for free, and then they need to sit an exam. And if they are good and if they pass the exam, then they can start and pay per semester. But the semester fee isn't very expensive, so it more or less means that everyone who wants to study can afford it. But the training is really intensive, it's really hard. A lot of people are changing professions now. I even have a friend who graduated law, but his pay was not very high. So he said, maybe if I try information technology, I will be able to get a very much higher salary and be able to practice that wherever I go, even if I decide to live in another country. So he is now information technology specialist. So it is possible. And in a way, it's not the state that is encouraging that, but it's like private entrepreneurs that are doing that.
Yeah, we really have to be adaptable in this global market, don't
yeah.
we? Mm-hmm. And people with law backgrounds might want to do IT.
Yeah.
People with leadership backgrounds come to IT because it spans everything, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to talk a little bit of nuts and bolts. Maine is an aging state. We have a lot of workforce replacement as well as workforce development. Building our workforce is a topic that goes from A to Z. What might we say is the role for immigrants in the workforce in Maine? I wondered, Stephanie, if you could speak to that. How precisely might immigrants make a difference in our future here in Maine?
Well, you know, a couple years back, well, I'd say about 5 years or 6 years ago, when I returned to Maine after years of working away, I went through a program called Leadership Maine, which is a wonderful program led by the Maine Development Foundation. And they went into a lot of the economic problems. We traveled around the state, looked into the economic problems of the state, and the biggest problem that kept coming out, other than technology, things like broadband, was workforce. The fact is that the universities can't churn out engineering and IT specialists as fast as industries can eat them up. I shouldn't say eat them up, as quickly as they can hire them. That's what I meant.
Sounds better.
Sounds a lot better, and it's more accurate. But the there are lots of programs going out and trying to find ways to get people, young people in high school and middle school, interested in future careers in science, technology, engineering, and math. But when we look at the chance out of going to high school that maybe out of a high school class, let's say if you're trying to have more people go into those industries, you can't really measure what that impact of what you're doing is. However, with programs like the program that IntWork is working on now, together with fundraising support from the Maine Association for New Americans, we can measure that we have a group of 74 untrained engineers, and that with as little as $2,500 per engineer, we actually have a way of being able to get them licensed. Though they work for about 6 months, they study, they get materials, and at the end of the six months, they get a license. So that's a small investment for a huge outcome, where companies that otherwise would like to live in Maine, because we have so few engineers, may have to leave Maine. If we invest in the immigrants coming here, it's really like a gift. The fact that immigrants come here is, for years, I've been thinking this is a window of opportunity. And groups like the Maine Association for Maine American have been saying that we have a window of opportunity where, by the grace of God, all these talented people with skills that we need in the state of Maine have shown up out of the blue, like manna. Like manna from heaven, literally. But we haven't necessarily always found what to do with them. So many of those people, in fact, most are still working in low-paying jobs. So we have a wonderful opportunity, and with programs like the SMCC program and other wonderful programs out there, is to turn the tide so that instead of people having to go into a survival job, which then can become a permanent job. So, for instance, I recently placed a guy who was an accountant in Burundi with over 20 years experience. He had been working on a housekeeping job for the past 5 years. Just placed him in a job in a bank, which was the beginning of the rebirth of his career. So yeah. The challenges for programs like this and for people, anyone who's interested in this, is how can we take that survival job period and eliminate it or make it as short as possible, so that if someone arrives here at the shelter today, we can meet them and we can say, okay, we know that you have about a year or a year and a half till you get a work permit. Let's make sure that at that point you get a job. And I've had some wonderful success stories with that. Recently, was just able to place a lawyer from Burundi who came here actually with a green card through the lottery, and who people would say, well, you know, it's a lawyer, you can't work in law. But this was a procurement lawyer, someone with a master's in procurement law. And she's actually was able to very quickly get a job in procurement law. So that type of story, or a teacher from Rwanda who came and just with the timing was able to apply even before he got his work permit, so that by the time he got his work permit, he started a job as a teacher in the Portland schools, a French teacher.
Yay.
Which there's a great shortage for.
Oh, I just feel like queuing up the music of the Boston Pops or something. It's thrilling to think that people can find not only a safe place to live and raise their families, but meaningful work that makes their life make sense. They don't have to sacrifice a whole generation and just let their children run with it. You're making sure they're getting to where they need to be. So thank you for the work you're doing. I think we all win on that. And David Zahn has something he'd like to say with that, too.
Yeah, I just want to pipe in. So, you know, we do not have enough workers in the pipelines for some of these professions. And at the same time, we have underemployed new Mainers, particularly in IT, particularly in medical. And they are stuck in jobs where they're not using their skills. People with medical backgrounds are not helping people with their medical knowledge. people who are with IT backgrounds are really the proverbial toilet cleaners instead. And that's just a waste of talent, particularly when we need that talent. And so, again, that's where we came in and we just said, look, we know the people are there. There's some gap to them getting, you know, out of that, stuck in that dead end job and getting into something where they can really put their skills to use. And we, of course, can use it. And so sometimes it's English. Sometimes it's the specific English they need for a job. Sometimes it's job readiness. Sometimes it's some kind of technical finishing. Like in the case of IT, we had to get people certifications that were U.S. recognized certifications, just so when employers were looking through their resumes, they knew these people had the training or the aptitude. And, you know, it's really a shame to see people on the sidelines with lots of incredible experience, lots of technical skills, sometimes more than people freshly out of these programs, you know, freshly out of U.S. training programs. And then and needing them at the same time so badly in our workforce. So we just try to go in there and insert ourselves where we can.
Thank you. I was at the Hear Hear concert last Sunday, and we had special guests, Janet Mills and Shelley Pingree, show up on stage, and they got a standing ovation. And she said, this is a celebration of diverse music in Portland, but what I'd like to see is this diverse music and this diverse community moving throughout the state of Maine. And I think with workforce development, if people could have a wonderful job, yeah, I've spoken with doctors who end up doing rural placements in Maine. They come from other countries, and that's their best shot at getting to be a doctor again. So they train and do that. And so the more immigrants we get and the more we're able to connect their training to jobs, the more we'll start to see immigrants throughout the state. And everyone can feel the richness of those bonds and that hybridization that happens. You know, we learn what happens in other countries. We can apply it. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. And it's like having a garden with more flavors. You know, you don't want just tomatoes. You'd really like a salad with lettuce and cucumbers as well. So, that goes with Maine's new slogan of welcome home. Stella?
I just want to add that when we speak about information technology specialists, we had also a certain number of women involved in the program, and that's very important to mention because they were also probably some of the best performing students in the program. They had a good qualification from their home country. Some of them even already had a relatively good job here, but they wanted to transfer their IT degree and gain more knowledge. But it is not a gender-restricted program.
Mm-hmm.
And women are also as good as men could be in technological studies. So the program is open to each and every one. Women thrive at STEM positions as much as men do. And they also give their added value to the sector.
Yes,
and to Maine as a whole.
Wonderful. I'm so glad you thought to mention that because it can go under the wire. We could be talking about IT and not say there are women that are strong candidates. So, Danae, I would love to hear about your success story. What happened to you after you finished the IT program?
Thank you. The program actually, I realized that I could even do some additional courses to increase the chances of having a good job. So, and also I realized that in this state there are programs sometimes immigrants are not aware of that help them to have the financial support that is needed to take a class.
Can you name any of those that places
like,
where
like
immigrants
those,
get help?
Yeah, like those who are with the DHHS program, that is Department of Human and Health Services. Mm-hmm. And if they are in what is called the TNF program and then work with the FedCap, then FedCap can pay for courses as long as those courses are in line with what the individual needs to increase their chances of getting a job. Actually, when I was involved in that ESOL to IT, That's when I went to FedCap to inform them, and they said, oh, we can pay for that. So I realized it was, although it was funded, but they could have paid for it.
So that's
what gave me the idea that after that program, I can see whether I can do some further IT courses to increase my chances.
And then have you gotten a job with the skills you've...
No, I'm still taking the classes.
You're taking additional classes.
I'm actually involved in a full semester. So at the end of the semester, that's when I'll be looking for a job.
Wonderful. Do you have anything to say about any of your teachers in this program?
They were amazing. You mean
at
currently?
SMCC and currently, sure.
I mean, Stella and Stephanie and the others that were involved in the program were really very helpful to me and to everyone in the program. And currently, I'm actually a full-time student. It's more challenging because the program, the ESOL to IT program, was a bit tailored to accommodate some of our barriers in language, the culture of studying. But this one is tailored just for the normal student in men.
The other one was a ramp up, and this is the real thing.
So it's more challenging for me, but I'm managing.
Wonderful. Yeah. And where were some of your classmates from in the ESOL to IT program? Where were the students from around the world?
Oh, many countries. They were from Congo, from Gabon in Africa, from Iran, I think,
mm-hmm.
also.
Yeah.
They were from Iraq also, Pakistan, and...
Afghanistan,
yeah.
So just for a little bit of fun, since we're talking about work, I do like to go back and look at people's early childhoods and find out, wherever you were in the world, what was the first job you thought you would like to have when you started just noticing your own interests as a child? I thought we'd just do a quick go around. Stella, what was your first job you ever wanted?
It is funny because my mother is a teacher. My bachelor's degree is more or less designed for me to be a teacher that I never fully was. I mean, I've done that only part-time. But when I was a child, and when you have a mother who is a teacher, you just want to be a teacher.
Yeah, you want to play school.
So I played with some neighbors and friends of mine. So we pretended to be teachers, teaching to each other maths and some other things.
I would have liked to have played school
with
you.
Yeah, but mostly we had fun.
Yeah.
This was the time when we were having fun.
Great. Stephanie, what were you wanting to be when you were a little girl?
Well, I was, other than wanting to be a ballet dancer, which was my very earliest chosen career at about 3, when I became around 5 to 7, my family hosted a family from Vietnam, the first families that came through Catholic Charities to Maine in 1975.
Oh.
And so I became fascinated with language. And then a year or two later, went to Mexico for a day over the border from visiting some relatives in Texas, and became aware of the diversity of languages and how it, you know, that it went with culture and different perspectives and different experiences. So I just wanted to grow up and work with people who spoke different languages and learn to speak with them. So at first I thought maybe the UN, but then I realized that wasn't it at all. And so I've been doing that in different forms since then.
I really am so glad I asked that because, of course, this is someone who speaks Spanish, French, Portuguese, and Chinese and enriches our lives here in Maine so much. Thank you, Stephanie. Dion Dene, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Interesting. For some reason I can't explain, I never thought of a job until I was in high school.
What were you doing as a child?
As a child, I never thought about any job. I didn't think about what I would do. I don't know, for some reason, I never.
Were you playing outside with friends?
Yeah, I was just playing.
What were you playing, soccer?
Yeah, soccer, and there's a special game of running where you have to catch the one, I don't know how it is called, maybe.
Yeah. So did you ever want to be a professional soccer player?
No, I don't think so.
No. So you just waited till high school, and then what did you think
once
you got to
high
school?
So when I was in high school, my first idea was a doctor, medical doctor. And later on, I thought also about being a pilot.
Well, you've always had high aspirations.
I always admire people who are just moving in the air. And I said, I should be
maybe
piloting
knew,
that thing.
Yeah, maybe you knew you'd be taking some transatlantic flights. David Zahn, what did you want to be when you were a kid?
I grew up in Arizona, where we have a huge portion of the population is New American. And so it was easy for me to see being an ESL teacher really far back. I wanted to be a teacher in high school. And so I went into a teacher training program, and I just looked around at where I thought I could be the most effective. And in Arizona, it was very obvious with the New American population. So I didn't have to think a whole lot about what I wanted to do, and I got to do exactly what I wanted. So I got lucky.
Yes, that's really cool. Do you speak other languages?
A little Spanish, a little French. My wife's a French teacher, so she pushes that on me. You know, mm-hmm. Picking it up slowly. I'm taking Italian, took Latin. This is one of the things about our students. I'm so impressed because I've never made nearly the headway they do. I mean, almost everybody I work with, English isn't, it's not, sometimes it's their second language, but it's often their third, fourth, fifth language. Just incredibly impressive.
Well, I'm struck with your answers, actually, because I think as we come to know ourselves as humans, we want to make a difference in the world, and we start to know what excites us. And best case scenario, we help everyone get to that thing that they think that they'd like to contribute to the world. And that's what workforce development does in part, make sure that people can support themselves and contribute meaning to the community. So that's, I like that. Many employers can't find the right kinds of applicants today for the jobs they need to hire. How might potential employers collaborate with Southern Maine Community College or other programs to create EMT or IT programs that would help them to gain a better pool of applicants to select from?
Well, I think the best first thing for them to do is to contact our workforce development team. I think you're going to put the link up on the show notes, but our workforce development team will listen to their needs, and they've got some tools to help maybe get a program put in place. Sometimes they can relieve some of the cost of it. There's some funding.
Yes, there are federal and
state funds
and private donations that support workforce development.
They thread very creatively all sorts of funds to reduce the cost for employers sometimes.
That's wonderful. And you told me when we spoke earlier that sometimes you do them on site with currently hired people to help them train up, and sometimes you do them with possible future employees.
There's training for potential employees, and then there's also incumbent workforce training for people who are working at a company and just with some training can advance their careers.
Thank you. And what do you all think that business owners in Maine should know about immigrant workers that they might not know? Mm-hmm. What would you like to say to them?
That they need to open their eyes to the new people, to the different people, to different cultures, that they need to be more accepting. And I don't think that Maine is an unwelcoming state. It's right the opposite. A lot of the employers are open to hiring new Mainers. It is only probably a prejudice or a lack of knowledge what kind of degree that person has. So programs like this can serve to prove the knowledge or take the person to a certification where you can demonstrate what you know in your career. So it is probably to help each other overcome prejudices and certain things that we don't know about each other.
Great. Do you, Danae, do you have things that you would like business owners to know about the immigrant workers?
Yeah, I think I'll go in the same line as Stella and add that maybe if there could be some kind of special program to, I would say, educate the business and employers, because I was at a business meeting, and it was clear that business leaders are very much aware of the gap that is there in terms of workforce. Actually, one of them say in 5 years there is a tsunami coming, and that tsunami is the lack of workforce. And but when you go in the reality and you meet the recruiters, they seem to be some kind of disconnect. They seem reluctant to hire immigrants.
Unknown?
They seem reluctant because, I mean, I don't think it's any kind of prejudice, but it is maybe some ignorance about what can really that lady or that gentleman bring to my company. They are not sure whether we have the skills,
yes,
we have the knowledge.
Mm-hmm. And so that brings up a great question of really, barriers.
Yeah.
What kinds of things, Stephanie, are you seeing that are barriers for highly qualified immigrants when they're applying for fabulous jobs?
One of the barriers that was mentioned is the one that was mentioned here, which is the perception and the fear of we know in Maine there is a real kind of tradition of, you know, are you a Mainer? Do you have Maine experience? And so this is so different. And for many companies, when they are hiring, they could see a resume. We know that there was a National Bureau of Economic Research study called "Are Emily and Greg More Employable Than Lakeisha and Jamal?" And it showed that applicants with white-sounding names are 50% more likely to get a call for an initial interview than applicants with African-American-sounding names. So, that's something called implicit bias. It's not something people are looking at. There's a wonderful website called implicit.harvard.edu where you can kind of find out what your perceptions are, maybe even ones you're not conscious of. And it's a fun thing to play around with for a couple hours. But if you think about white American-sounding names getting 10 times more calls from employers than African-American-sounding names, where, you know, both people speak English, both have U.S. education, same exact resume, think about how scary it is for an employer. And, you know, since I work for employers, I'm hired by employers to help them find, to help them start diversity hiring or to help them find specific candidates through my company, Intwork. They have some real valid questions, which is their credential going to be relevant? Will they speak English? Will they have any cultural quirks that will make my, or issues or biases themselves that will make my workplace become a cauldron of mayhem? And so there are a lot of fears employers have that is why we know that when they're looking through those resumes and they see the name, think about it. You're looking at a name, you might not know if it's a female name or a male name. You might not know colleges from countries where you have never heard of. And so that sense of the fear of the unknown is a real thing. And that's why with my company, Intwork, what I do is I hold companies' hands through the process and I say, look, you're having a really hard time hiring, let's say, engineers. And maybe it's not, even if you find a candidate out of state who you want to come to Maine, oftentimes candidates are not willing to come to Maine because they think, well, Maine is the whitest state in the country, I'm Indian, or I'm Asian, or I'm African-American, or I'm Latino. What would be, am I ever going to have growth and acceptance in a community in Maine? So by companies diversifying, helping them make safe choices for them, so I screen people to make sure that they are fluent, because if you work in a professional job, you have to be understood and understand. So that's, of course, so that thing, basically, they look at a resume. Instead of them looking at a resume blind, we can say, look, I will only send you people who have a work permit and don't need sponsorship, who have English and will understand what you say, and you'll be able to understand them. Constantly, candidates come my way saying, I want you to help me find a job in my field. And I say, well, guess what? You need to go back to the, you need to work on these things, because I can't give you to an employer until you're going to meet their criteria. But if they're going blind, just looking at resumes and applications, they don't have someone who can say, this is out of the five candidates, this one speaks perfect English.
Yeah, that's a wonderful service to be the intermediary. David, you had something you wanted to say on that.
There's definitely some obstacles, and I think Stephanie's pointed them out. I think Stella's pointed them out. Diadene's pointed them out. But I also want to, just for balance, point out that there are some fantastic champion employers who've done a bang-up job. I mean, I think of Northeast Mobile hiring Togrul, the Azerbaijan doctor. I think of Maine Health, who pays their employees for release time and then taxis them to English classes during the workday. And so I just also want to point that out because I know there's new Mainers listening, and they might hear just about the obstacle, but there's also plenty of great companies who already see that this is a part of the solution to the workforce needs and a good fit for the employer and the immigrants. So,
thank you. And I would add two things that I would want business owners to know about immigrant workers is that I find working with immigrants to be a joy because they are polite.
Incredibly appreciative.
Yes, such gratitude. Such gratitude and making such a lovely community of your employees. They're not on their cell phones all the time. You know, there's some barriers that we have as an American workforce that aren't being brought with our immigrant workforce with a little more formal perspective. So last question of the day, I'd like to zoom way out here. Let's think big. What do you dream of for Maine's future workforce? What does Maine need to do right now to be a strong state in 20 years? We can go around and everybody can throw an idea in. What would make Maine a stronger state 20 years from now, workforce development-wise? Do you want to start, Stephanie?
Well, one thing is to recognize the barrier, the real barrier of having the ability to look at credentials. I see many people who come here who have a PhD or a master's in engineering, and they then go and spend their first couple years getting a GED. Because they think, well, everyone tells me I have to start from scratch. So instead, they could go, you know, if there were money, for instance, for this group of 70 foreign trained engineers, if there were money to be able to get them this $350 credential evaluation through the National Council for Engineering and CES, they could, and money for them to take a test, which then within 6 months, they can all have a license. So instead of spending 2 years getting a bachelor's or a second associate's or a second bachelor's or a second high school degree, I'd like to have a more clear pathway. Right now, there are so many different places that people might end up. If they need English skills, they might go to adult ed. If they don't need English skills, they might end up in a different place. But if we have a way, we could just more clearly say, here's where you go for a licensure. If there was a state center or something where everybody was talking to each other, that would make a lot of sense.
Build it right into the infrastructure, maybe an office of immigrant employment.
Some states have just a welcome back center, which includes for immigrants or non-immigrants, people with certain skills.
Wonderful. Stella, an idea for how we be a better state in 10 years?
So one way is to change the pathway, but also if that same pathway is to exist, then make it more accessible for the majority of the people. Mm-hmm. Yes. Make it cheaper.
Yes, good point. Do you, Danae?
Yeah, I think if men can find a way to evaluate the credential and skills, I'm not talking about the usual credential evaluation that is done for degrees, but if men can have some mechanism to evaluate my skills, my knowledge, what I'm bringing in, and have a job that corresponds to that.
Yes.
Something practical aside the usual credential evaluation, I think that would be a big step, and I think it would be both beneficial for men and the immigrants.
Yes, wonderful. Thank you. That's a great point. This isn't necessarily a problem just for immigrants. It's for everyone, and you all have a great idea. Let's move forward with some more infrastructure so we can connect the dots. This has been a remarkable conversation. I think you are all creating the changes that will benefit our state in the long run. Thank you for sharing a bit about that process here today with me on the radio, and I just thank you for being my guests.
Thank you, Kate.
I'm Kate Manahan, closing today's program with a song that Diadene has selected for us. Can you just say why you chose this song?
The song says, it's called, the title says, only the one who has spent the night awake can tell the story about the night. This is a song that was composed for the genocide that happened in Rwanda. So it tells that only those who really lived it can tell about it, but also with a positive message saying that if you are a victim of hate, be a messenger of love. If you are, you have suffered something, be a messenger of the opposite.
Thank you. Yeah. And as a New Mainer, you know, you are the messenger of what it's like to get a job here and make your way in the state. So nothing about you without you. Thank you.
Abantu babona umwanana w'insina bakibagirwa inguri. Abantu bavoma amazi y'iriba bakibagirwa isoko. Banyibutse ikiremwa muntu gitinya kwibuka ngo nuko amateka yacyo ari mabi. Amateka nubwo yaba ari mabi tuzayavuga uko yabaye. Amateka nubwo yaba babaje tuzavuga amazina yayo. Kuko twamenye amacakubiri ni twebwe tuzahamya ubumwe. Kuko twagiriwe urwango tuzaba abahamya b'urukundo. Tuzaba imbuto z'umugisha.